Welcome to Running on Indy. I'm Jesse Davis.
And I'm Blake Robertson.
On today's episode, we're going to have Andy Martin, who is a representative of USATF Indiana, and we're going to talk about all they do and some upcoming events. And me and Blake recently competed overseas, and we'll talk about that a little bit as well. Well, first off, I should say that this episode is brought to you by Hotel Tango Bourbon. Just kidding. That's just what we're enjoying, a little bit of bourbon that Andy brought. He brought food and bourbon, which is pretty awesome. That's a great guest right there.
It is.
Yeah. But no, Blake, who are we sponsoring?
So the person that's really paying for all this is 361. We'd like to thank them and make sure you check out Runner's Form, the all-new 361 Spire. It's a neutral shoe, lots of good cushion system there. So go to your local running specialty store if you don't have a Runner's Form in your area.
Yeah, and that's a great shoe, Spire 3. I've been wearing that around a lot.
And yeah, they gave me some.
Comes in Runner's Form red.
Yeah, they sent me a red pair.
Andy knows what he's doing. He's wearing 361 shoes tonight, mm-hmm. The Spin Jet.
Mm-hmm. Got to support the sponsor.
Heck yeah. So, Andy, why don't you tell us a little bit about USATF Indiana and what you do with them and a little bit about yourself.
Sure. Well, thanks for having me on. And look forward to hearing about your overseas adventures.
Oh, yeah.
Both of you. Sounds like you had a successful and interesting trips. My background is I'm originally from New Jersey and ran and competed back in high school and then at the University of Virginia. And after college, got into the screen printing business and quickly realized I didn't really want to be doing that the rest of my life. So I found my way to USATF New Jersey and served as their office manager for a year and a half. And then a job opened up out here in Indianapolis at the national office, and I was fortunate to be offered the position in the grassroots department, and spent 12 and a half years at USATF at the national office, serving essentially directing the membership department and the grassroots department. And then in 2012, decided it was time to kind of move on and do something a little bit different, and but my passion for the sport was still there, so I started a company called Exclamation Services. And what we do is we basically support local USATF associations, most of which don't have paid staff. So we essentially serve as their paid staff in a number of areas: communications, marketing, event logistics. Jesse, you were at our banquet last year at USATF Indiana.
Yeah.
So Exclamation Services was behind the scenes putting that on. So we work with about 8 or 9 of the local associations around the country, everywhere from Virginia up to New England, out to the Pacific Northwest. And USATF Indiana was actually our first client back in 2012. So they're obviously, not only are they here in our home state, but they're near and dear to me because of they were the first one to jump on board and support what we were doing.
So. Yeah, that's awesome. And then that banquet that you're talking about is pretty cool event. There's a lot of wide range of ages and you just get all the kids and then the older people that don't usually get the recognition from running, and they get a night that's hey, people are paying attention. This is pretty cool. And I think it was really cool, especially with the younger kids, to get them really jazzed and excited to continue in the sport. And some of them are amazing talents, like world-class level talents here in Indiana. It's pretty incredible.
Yeah, the banquets are, I do that for Indiana. I do it for the USATF New York. We're going to start one in the Virginia Association. The banquets are really sort of epitomize what we're trying to do, which is to celebrate the athletes. Mm-hmm. A lot of times at the local level, things happen, athletes perform, but they don't get a lot of the recognition. So You know, whether it's the banquets or press releases or just getting their pictures up on the website. That's really what we're trying to do to celebrate the athletes.
And you've definitely helped plug our show before, so we really appreciate that.
And we'll continue to do that.
So
and you actually listen to us, right?
We do. Oh, yes.
I think three people now listen.
That's confirmed. I learned today about who the world record holder is in the Spider-Man costume for a marathon.
Yeah,
right?
Camille Heron. Yeah. Uh-huh. And just to catch up the audience a little bit, since our last podcast, me and Blake have both competed in USATF events on a world level. So Blake, you want to tell us a little bit about, you were USATF Masters World Championships. Tell a little bit about your experience.
Well, it was in Spain.
Yeah. We're out in Spain.
In Malaga.
Okay.
Malaga, Spain. So me and my wife flew into Lisbon. We stayed in Lisbon for a couple of days, and then we took a flight from Lisbon to Malaga, where the championship was held. Very hot, very humid. I would never complain about Indiana being hot and humid again, or North Carolina, because it was ridiculously hot.
Really? Yeah.
Not really a lot of places to run as far as the warm up and runs. I had a little park that I ran around. It was a half mile long, which was surrounded by prostitutes.
Oh, man.
Which was another thing there. So I was getting hollered
at. What happens in Malaga stays in Malaga.
What happens in Malaga stays in Malaga. So the park was right across the street from our hotel. So every morning I'd get up and go ahead and get my run out of the way because and instead of being 100 degrees, it was 95. So I could at least beat a little bit. So I'd run around, and there was there'd be like four or five prostitutes around there hollering at me. It was funny. I didn't know what they were saying, but...
Is that how you measure distance? By the...
The space between the prostitutes.
Oh, man.
So, that was interesting.
Wow.
The language barrier was really bad there. I know it's in a different country, but like, I mean... I've been to Europe before and other places, and at least they had like an English menu or they could speak English, but no, there was no English at all.
Well, I think if you're in a tourist spot, then more people.
Yeah, and I wasn't. And to be fair, I wasn't in tourist spots. We ended up going to tourist areas, but to do different things. But other than that, I mean, it was okay.
Mm-hmm. You ran the 5,000?
Ran the 5,000.
Mm-hmm.
Ended up finishing, I think there was 52 athletes. Mm-hmm. I finished 19th.
Nice.
Nice.
It was really cool, though. I've never had water around a track before. So they had, and I will say that was neat, that they actually had their staff around the track giving us water as we were coming around.
That's cool.
So that was pretty, I mean, everybody was taking it. Yeah. I mean, it was ridiculously hot and humid there, but no, it was cool. I met a lot of cool people from different countries, and they kept you in your age group. So whatever your age division was, when you went to different areas, that was your age division. So you weren't hanging out with the 90-year-olds or anything like that. So
you don't hang out with the 90-year-olds?
I met some of them. They're pretty cool. but no, I met tons of different athletes from around the world. Belgium, Spain, obviously. It was really neat. And so it was a good experience.
Cool, man. What was the coolest thing you did in Spain?
The coolest thing I did in Spain.
If you had to recommend one thing that you did.
So we climbed up this castle. Mm-hmm. I don't know the name of it, but it was over a mile long straight up.
Wow.
And you have to literally, like, it's amazing because back in the day they had to go up there with the horses or walk. It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
So there's a castle there.
That's cool.
And
they had to climb up a ladder with a horse?
No.
I was trying to get that through my head too.
It went around like this. It went around like that. So you had to walk it up it.
Yeah.
But the cool, that was cool. And then when you got to the top, you could look down. And you could see the bull stadium because they do a lot of bullfighting.
Yeah, they still do.
What
that,
I found out about the bull, though, bullfighting, and it's really big there. It's huge. It's like football here. Is they kill the bull afterwards.
Yeah.
They cut the throat and kill the bull.
I don't know if I'm all about that.
I didn't know that. I thought that was pretty. I didn't like that part.
Pretty gruesome.
Yeah. But it's really big there.
I didn't know they still did that.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
They got a big coliseum for it. It's huge.
Oh, man.
And so a lot of museums there that are really cool. Picasso's from there. So we went to the Picasso Museum, and that was really cool. He's from there.
That sounds like an awesome trip.
But yeah, it was pretty cool. But the coolest thing about the whole trip was there was a cyclist, and he was training. He was riding.
That's the only person anybody knows.
Well, I don't know. He was riding his bike
up the mountain,
up the castle.
That's cool.
Down, and you got to remember, people were lined up walking up here. He would just zigzag through us up. All the way down.
Wow.
Right back up.
Yeah, that's pretty neat.
So, cool. That was my trip. Other than that, USA Track and Field, thank you for the uniforms and stuff, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I heard they did you right.
They did.
I got some full, USA jersey.
Almost a full kit.
Full kit. Yeah. Everything. It was awesome.
Awesome. Great. Yeah, man.
Awesome.
Yeah. You guys look good in the pictures.
Oh, yeah. We got some pictures done. Yeah.
Well, World Championships come up in Poland for indoor. So I'm thinking about possibly going.
Nice.
We'll
yeah.
Jesse, how about your trip?
Yeah, I was at the 100K World Championships, and so slightly further than 5K, and it was in...
Not much.
56 miles.
Didn't you do 5K 62? Loops? Didn't you do 5K loops?
No, it was a... It was a 2.5K loop, yeah. And then you did... that was one time, and then you did 13 by 7.5K, so that gives you 100K. So it was in northern Croatia, and it was at like kind of like the spa golf resort, but the golf that they had there also, it was like real golf, but it was a combination of real golf and had frisbee golf. It was really strange.
Cool.
There were a bunch of water slides at this place, but it was slightly dated. So it was like maybe early 2000s. Everything looked like early 2000s, late 90s water slides and
so
stuff.
So no beheadings or anything?
Beheadings? What? No. Croatia's a tour.
I don't know. When I think of Croatia, I think of like a...
No, Croatia's like a popular tourist spot. Okay. Although I didn't go to like the big popular tourist places. It was like a small village and like a resort. So the 100K was pretty good. I got 24th overall. Some dude passed me literally with like 5 meters to go. At that point I was so dead and cramping so bad that I was just like, I don't care. Just get me across that line. It was like, I made it 44 miles, close to a 6:30 pace. And at 50 miles, I was 6:36. And the last 12 miles I died so hard. And like, I was literally like walk jogging, trying to finish like the last loop. Trying to eat oranges, bananas, anything like that would try to keep me from cramping. And I ended up finishing it like around a 6:50 pace for 62 miles. Wow. So it's still pretty solid. Yeah. It was super hot, super humid. Very similar to here. I actually had a cornfield at the end of the loop. And so it was very similar to Midwest temperatures. At one point there was a rooster that ran across the road. And I had to like, it was kind of cool to watch a rooster go across the road in the middle of a race. That was kind of neat. But it was just like a small town. So I wanted to get, after the race, I wanted to see something a little more cultural. So I spent a couple of days in Budapest, and that was pretty awesome. I also climbed a mountain, and there was a castle at the top. It probably wasn't as windy as yours, but it still hurt after 100K.
I feel like
run.
Castles are kind of big.
Yeah. Budapest is awesome. I recommend anybody that wants to travel in that area, you should stop in Budapest. It was really awesome.
So, Jesse, let me put that in perspective. Mm-hmm. You ran 6:50 per mile.
Uh-huh.
So you ran a marathon,
around
two marathons back-to-back in 3 hours, and then an extra 10K.
Do
I have the math right?
Yeah, well, extra 10 miles.
Extra 10 miles.
Yeah. Right. Wait, no.
52 miles.
Yeah. So extra 10 miles. Yeah. So yeah, I was right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So two marathons and then 10 extra miles after that.
At three hour pace. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah. Yeah. I wanted to be faster, but I mean, you always want to do better, but like it was so hot and humid. And then, I mean, and mainly I want to do better because my PR was around that same pace that I ran. Mm-hmm. So I just kind of matched that. So I just wanted to be under 7 hours, and I was just over 7 hours. So
I will say this about Jesse. I'll brag on him for a little bit.
I can run a long time cramping.
USA Track and Field has now, not once, but twice.
USATF Indiana.
Okay.
Yeah.
But USA Track and Field, like... has underestimated Jesse not once but twice.
Oh, okay.
Both times he's been off.
No, I thought you were going a different way with that.
Both times he finished Second for the U.S.
Ah, so you were an alternate going into
this. Yeah.
Some people dropped out and I got on the team.
Okay. I have to say, I don't think
in the 50K too.
Yeah.
But it's all based off time. I understand. It's
and you had a couple guys, like four guys that dropped, right?
Yeah, actually. No, we had a 6-person team and three guys finished.
Okay.
And then on the girls team, they had a 6-person team and one girl finished. So that goes along with the theme of girls are tougher than men, and they don't drop. And they were out there a lot longer.
Only
one girl dropped.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
We, that was the whole
debate. Yeah, and then three of our guys' team dropped. Mm-hmm. And so, female long-distance runners, I give it to you. You are amazingly tough. I mean, they were out there longer, and it got so hot at the end. The first 4 hours, overcast skies, and then after that, the sun came out, and it was just brutal.
Did I see it was like 85, 86 degrees?
Yeah, by the end, yeah, and really high humidity. And so I was like I said, 44 miles, I locked up, and it was just kind of like, try to stay at this pace, and it just kept getting creeping slower and slower, and then it got...
So we locked up at 44 miles, and you had 18 to
18
go.
18 to go, yeah.
I could ask you this, maybe you just, why do they do this? And all the world championships, it seems to me that they always pick the hottest places in the world to run.
Well, it's also like
who... You know what I'm saying? Like, why?
Well, a lot of it's the who wants to host it, I think.
Mostly it's who wants to host it and who's the best location for it. And whether whether it's one kind site that wants to host it or there's four, they're just picking the best scenario.
And they also have to take on a lot of the costs, too. So not everybody wants to take on that cost.
Okay.
So there's a lot that goes
into it. They pick the hottest places to run.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, to be fair, it's September and they have very Midwest like temperatures, so it could have been like a range of anything.
It also kind of plays into people a little bit slower to his hands because it changes the dynamic of the race.
That 100K, there's so much back and forth. It's incredible. Like, people could be so far ahead of you, and then you catch them, and you get so far ahead, and they could completely come back on you. It's such a weird race. Yeah. But that was only my second one, so I'm still trying to figure that out. So if someone can figure out a way to tell me how to not like completely eat it after 50 miles, then
Camille already told you, drink a beer. You were there, you saw it. She
maybe
said,
it's the bourbon.
You should drink the bourbon. By the way, if anybody hears me go, that's the bourbon. I just drank and took a drink, so it's clearing my throat. Let's get back to Andy here. Mm-hmm. So, you have there's a couple USATF. Indiana events coming up that you want to talk about. So let's talk.
Yeah.
And they're really exciting events, and I think people should know about them. So.
Yeah, so over the last couple of years, I've been working with the association, John Maley, who is our long-distance running chair, on sort of ramping up our presence in the running community. We've been, you know, doing really well with the track and field and the youth programs, but we really wanted to get sort of on the radar and provide some programming for our distance runners. So what we did is, I guess about, this will be our fifth year, going into our fifth year, is we started a cross-country Grand Prix. And the goal of the Grand Prix was to give the youth athletes an opportunity to have like a preseason before Junior Olympics. Junior Olympics are historically in November, and then the Nationals are in December, and we wanted to give them the opportunity to compete throughout the month of October. We also wanted to give the middle school athletes the opportunity to sort of bridge their middle school seasons with the Junior Olympic program, so that's the events in October. And we wanted to give adults the opportunity to run cross country, which is very hard to find events in this area. So every Sunday in October, starting next Sunday?
October 7th.
October 7th.
Yeah.
And then the first two weekends November, we will have a cross-country event. It starts off in Bloomington on October 7th.
Mm-hmm.
Then October 14th, we will have two events. One's in Indianapolis at North Central High School. And then one will be up in Lowell in the northern part of the state. October 21st, we're at Garin Catholic High School for the Noblesville Classic. Following week, we go to Columbus. And then we're down in Seymour on November 4th. And then we have the Indiana Championships on November 10th. And that's going to be at Eagle Park in Brown County, Nashville, Indiana.
That'd be really pretty that time.
Which is sort of a hot spot for high school running.
Yeah.
The first time we've been down there for our championships.
What's,
so,
what's the distance?
The adult, well, the kids run either 2K or 3K or 4K. The adults run 4K.
Okay.
And what's really cool about it is at each event, every athlete earns points towards a year-end score. Unlike a lot of other Grand Prix and series that you see, it's not just for the top five, not just for the top 10, but even the last place finisher in each age division is earning points. So they are accumulating points throughout the year. And then at the end of the year, we have a final standings. And for the second year, they're going to get a really nice, and I brought a sample of a really nice top, a weather top that's provided by On Running. And it's valued at $130.
So. Yeah. Yeah. So, nice little, half zip there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
that's awesome. So if someone wants to sign up for this, what do they do?
Just go to indiana.usatf.org and, off on the right-hand side, you'll see the Grand Prix logo. Just click on that and that'll take you to the schedule and then the various links to each of the events. We're really excited about the event in Indianapolis this year. We haven't been in Indianapolis at all in the first 4 years. So North Central High School, who's developed a really nice course.
Oh, yeah. That's a great course.
Yeah, yeah, really awesome course. They've, they're going to host the event on October 14th, so we're really excited about that. And the meets are basically over within an hour and a half. One of our goals was we didn't want parents having to come out and spend the whole day like going to a track meet, sitting through a whole bunch of events. So we really keep a really tight schedule. Some of the younger age divisions will run the boys and girls together, and we're in that within about an hour and a half.
That's pretty
for
cool.
Each of the meets. So Junior Olympics or in the Indiana Championships are a little bit longer because we do have to break up the events into boys and girls and so forth. But yeah, so it's a really nice outing. We try to find really nice courses and interesting courses. And and the other, just jumping back to the other goal, goals with the Grand Prix, one of our goals has been that what we found is here in Indiana, the high school season is over so early for a lot of kids. Kids that don't make the postseason teams, their seasons are essentially finishing up like now, like the end of September.
Yeah.
And this really gives those kids the opportunity to experience what I call the October burn.
Yeah.
That they get to experience what it's like to compete all the way through October, because their goals, most of their goals are to be in Terre Haute at the end of October for the state championship high school meet. And a lot of kids will develop this year that aren't even on the varsity, that could be on varsity next year. And without that experience, they don't know what it's like to race through October. And it can be a long, long season for them if they don't get that experience. So this gives them that opportunity to do that.
That's pretty cool. And if you're an older like us and you've never ran on grass, this would be a really cool experience. Because running on grass versus the road or the track is like a totally different type of racing. So it might be something pretty cool to just check out. And
it's
just
something fun to
in.
Do.
Yeah, it'd just be fun.
Cross country since college, so.
Yeah, and it's just 4K. It's not like it's 100K or something.
Right. And then at the Indiana Championships,
or 5K, or even.
At the Indiana Championships on November 10th, for the open teams, the winning teams, men and women, will earn a $500 travel grant. That if they choose to go compete in the club championships out in Spokane this year. That $500 to
that's pretty awesome
travel expense. So
So is that the winning teams, you said?
It is the winning teams.
Yes. Okay. Yep. And how many do you need to make a team?
For the association championship, only three. But when you get out to nationals, you have to have
five.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So. Awesome.
Yeah. We had a group, the Wazelle women Volley. The Wazelle Volley won it last year and went down to Kentucky and competed.
So. Okay. Yeah. Where is the, national championships?
It's in Spokane, Washington this year.
Oh, you already said that. That's awesome.
Yeah. And then next year, it's in Lehigh, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. And Lehigh is a great, awesome course. If you get a chance, you've been thinking about running cross country, well, first come to Eagle Park November 10th. But next year, Lehigh is just a spectacular course. It's sort of the Terre Haute of the 70s and 80s. They had national championships there three or four different times. One of the greatest races I've ever witnessed in my life happened there. Henry Rono and Alberto Salazar.
Henry Rono.
Duked it out. I've never seen a person turn as pitch white as Alberto Salazar did that day, trying to hang on to Rono.
Yeah.
And what's amazing is only three people have ever broken 29 minutes on that course, and those guys ran 28:20 and 28:30. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, so. Henry Rono, that you wouldn't recognize that name. But
I know who he is.
You know Henry Rono?
Oh, yeah, I know who Henry Rono
is. That is USI, right? Henry Rono? Or am I thinking of a different guy?
That's a different guy.
Yeah. You don't even know who Henry Rono is.
I know.
Henry, I don't even know who Henry Rono is.
For Washington State.
Yeah, he used to have all the records.
He broke four world records within 80 days.
Okay, I'm dumb.
There is a
Rono that ran for USI. Never mind.
It's been broken now, but he had like a 13.08 PR 5K in college. It was like the record for a long time.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he set the steeple, the 5.
Dang.
The 10.
That's a lot of Ronos. Yeah. I'm confused.
And there's a fourth record that I've...
And I've been drinking bourbon. Well,
when you're a Kenyan, your name is either Rono or Kip 2.
Yeah, there you go.
Anyway.
I will want to say one real quick about Lehigh. And every time you think of Lehigh, I only think of one thing, and that's when they beat Duke about 4 or 5.
He doesn't like Duke.
Duke was number one in the country, and Lehigh upset them in the second round.
Okay. Blake's a North Carolina guy, just as a background.
So I'm a huge Duke. Lehigh fan.
Okay. Well, it's funny because speaking of Duke, and this isn't going to make you happy, but I was sitting under the basket when Christian Laettner hit that incredible shot.
No, that's not gonna make me happy.
No, it's not gonna make you happy.
But
no.
He was there. I mean, like...
But I was there. It's considered the greatest basketball game of all time.
That was. Basketball. I mean, I watched that game. That was awesome.
That was probably when you guys were just.
I think the greatest basketball game is when Carolina came 10 seconds left, came back within 8, won a national championship with Michael Jordan, and hit the last second shot.
Yeah. No, I gotta say when IU beat and knocked out
North Carolina. I'm sorry.
When IU beat. The Michael Jordan-led North Carolina team, that was pretty incredible.
I was never UNC, I've always had a problem with UNC. I went to the University of Virginia.
So. No, that's why. Yeah. Well, and ACC school.
Yeah, ACC school, and UNC always seemed to be able to recruit the kids from the Hampton Roads area away from Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
But, so I had this little bit of a disdain for UNC for a long, long time.
Yeah.
Well,
and besides the fact that they were, like, cheated.
No.
Well, but I spent some time in Chapel Hill this summer. I got to meet a couple of the former players from the 90s, and they're nice guys, and I'm no longer a UNC hater. So, Blake, you and I can be friends now.
Awesome. What player did you meet?
Pete Chilcutt.
He wasn't a starter, was he?
I don't know. Early 90s, late 80s. He was on the team with J.R. Reed, though. I know.
Let's do another sponsorship plug.
Okay.
This episode of Running on Indy is brought to you by 361 Degrees Running. And let's talk about what shoes we ran in and for the world championships that we were in.
I ran in the face shoes.
Oh, good choice. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's been my shoe of choice. I think I'm going to use that for Monumental.
I did a, I like those. I did a, before the 100K, I did a training run marathon, like in those, and it felt really awesome. I was very tempted to run in those in the 100K, and I think some of my teammates talked me down.
Yeah, that might have been a little
That would have been a bad idea, I think.
So what did you wear?
I wore my Meraki's.
Okay.
Yeah, I just played it safe, and I'm kind of glad I did. I didn't need to wear flats. I mean, the Meraki's are light.
They're close enough.
Yeah, it's pretty lightweight shoe.
So I got to say, my wife has a pair of 361s, as I do, but my wife is now the runner in the family. And
you also have a sweet 361 shirt.
Yeah. But she loves them. I mean, she put them on. She's like, this is my favorite shoe I've ever.
Oh, yeah. I think they're awesome. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think they have like, I mean, if we really want to get into shoe talk, but I think they just have a nice niche in between like ultra like responsive and like too squishy, like I think like too many shoes are going too squishy.
Yeah. I absolutely love their faces. It's my favorite shoe they have.
Yeah, that's a great shoe.
Came out with this year.
It kind of reminds me of the old Adios back in the day, like the original Adios, slightly.
I mean, it's lighter too.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite. That was my first marathon shoe. I ran several marathons in that shoe.
It's also like American flag colors.
So okay.
Anyway, this is nerdy shoe talk time. Nerdy shoe talk time brought to you by 361. So is coming up Fort Bend, is that still USATF Indiana Championships?
It is, yeah. So October 6th is the Indy Half Marathon at Fort Bend. And we've been really fortunate. We've created a really nice partnership with the Beyond Monumental Group.
Mm-hmm.
3-year partnership with them on their 1 mile championship. This past June was the first of that first 3 years. And then this will be the second of the 3-year partnership with the half marathon championships. And
yeah,
you won it last year.
Yes, yeah. I did.
Yeah. $500, $400, $500. I can't remember.
We're not talking about prize money because I may still want to do it. We don't want to like tip people off.
And then, I'm doing it, Jesse.
Well, I mean, we don't want to tip people off that can beat me.
So yeah, so it's coming.
Actually,
up.
You have to pay when you win, right? I think it's like you have to pay like $350.
You have to pay $350.
Yeah, if you win, you have to pay.
Mm. No. It's a great opportunity. We really want all of the elites from around the state to come participate. And you know, back in the day, right? You know, we would have 10 of you competing for it, and we want it.
There's not 10 of me on this whole planet. I mean,
I got second there 2 years ago. I forget who beat me. Somebody beat me. Came in from out of state.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's pretty competitive usually. And it's a great course, too.
It's tough.
Yeah.
It's not easy.
It's not a PR course.
No,
but
yeah. It's tough.
Last year was kind of humid.
Yeah.
I haven't looked at the weather yet.
It's going to be humid again.
You think so?
Well, the dew point is supposed to go back up next week toward the end. So, and plus, I'm racing it, so
it'd definitely be
it's going to be humid. Yeah,
works. And last year we had the top three women all had participated in Olympic trials.
Yeah.
2 years before, so that was pretty cool.
And last year the top one man did.
Yeah, there you go.
I've been drinking some bourbon.
But it's just part of the championship series, if you will, that the association is slowly cobbling together. We've had the 5K championships in Indianapolis as part of the JMF Foundation 5K for a number of years. Had a nice turnout this year. John Mascari came and won it.
He's amazing.
Yeah.
Noah Drotty won it last year.
Drotty won it the year before.
Noah Drotty was also on the show.
Yeah, Sarah Peace won it this year. So we had a really good turnout on the elite end. And we just want all the elites. We want all the non-elites coming and scoring in the championship and making it happen.
Yeah. So... yeah, that's coming up October 6th, so you can start training and probably get ready in a week.
Entries close. So the entries close for the championship. I think it's next Wednesday or Thursday.
Uh-oh.
I think you can maybe able to still enter the Fort Bend event, but for the championships, check out the website, but I think it's next Wednesday or Thursday.
Okay, yeah so I may still do it. I haven't decided yet. I mean, I'm going to have 100K legs, so I'm not expecting a whole lot. But I still think I could beat you.
Well, I'm
pretty confident I could still beat you, though.
Well.
anything else, Blake?
No. I mean, it's been a while since we're back in action.
Yeah, we're coming up on 1 year. Because I remember talking to you after Fort Bend last year saying, like, hey, we got a podcast coming out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was like a couple weeks after that.
Yeah, Monumental, I remember.
Yeah, we bumped into you there at Monumental. My wife and I came down and helped out at the...
Yeah, so we're a year.
We should do something for our 1 year anniversary.
We should throw a party.
We're gonna do something incredibly amazing for our 1 year anniversary. So you're gonna have to listen to the next one or two podcasts to see what that is. Because we don't know yet.
We got a bunch of other countries listening to us too, so that's pretty cool.
Oh yeah.
What countries?
They're listed on the website. Okay. I think
people that are trying to hack our website.
Okay. Yeah.
There's some Canada's got like some legit root listeners now. Uh-huh.
Oh yeah, we're hardcore in Canada. And India.
We're big in Japan.
But I think they think it's running on India. Yeah. Like Indy is short for India.
Yeah.
So no, I'm just kidding.
We're huge in Japan. Japan's got like a mural of us.
You know what, Japan? They are legit runners. Like, no joke, Japan is really...
Well, they won the world, right?
At the 100K World Champs, I'm like, man, these guys are the real deal.
If they don't win, they have to, like, slice their, like, heads off. Like,
Slice, Blake. Are you serious? Slice their heads off. Okay, we've been drinking bourbon. Yeah,
so Jesse, it seems like every episode there's
no
slicing
head off.
There's that awkward moment when Blake says something like that.
Yeah.
That you need like a buffer, and I'll be your buffer today.
Yeah. Oh man.
No man, if you don't win in Japan, man, you're like disgraced to your
this
family.
This is not North Korea. They don't go to prison. If they don't. Which is legit. I'm not even just saying that. They actually would go to prison. That's not even a joke.
No, he would send in the prison.
No, they sent the World Cup team.
They really?
Yeah, they got everybody's expectations up because they weren't supposed to do good, and they did. They won one match in the World Cup is several years ago, and then they got annihilated in the next match, and then like they went to prison because they got everybody's expectations up. They let down the country.
Yeah, I think I would want to win too.
Yeah. Yeah, it's literally life or death. So anything else you want to say?
Yeah, I just want to say the Indiana Association annual meeting's coming up October 14th.
Oh, okay, yes.
And if there's any listeners out there that have had an interest in getting involved at the administrative level, there's several board positions. I think there's 7 board positions that are up for election.
Mm-hmm.
Check out the website. The more people getting involved, the better. The associations that really thrive around the country are the ones that have more people involved and getting their hands dirty and doing the work. And the ones that don't have a lot of people involved kind of struggle. So.
I'm seriously thinking about joining. When you sent that email, I was like, if there's 7 positions open, why not?
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah,
I'm thinking it'd be cool to get involved in something like that.
Yeah,
yeah, definitely. Man, this is the most bourbon we've ever drank on a podcast.
Yeah, I know. The more I drink, the more beheadings
I talk about.
And Blake,
you're not done yet.
No.
Yeah, I mean, Blake drank so much bourbon, he's talking about people beheading themselves because they didn't run well. That's crazy. Anyway, let's do our last little plug here.
Okay.
Do you want to do it?
Yeah, so...
what do we usually say on the last one?
We this episode is brought to you by 361.
Oh, yeah, it's brought to you by 361 Bourbon. I'm just kidding. No, 361 Degrees Running, which they should make a bourbon. They make great running shoes, and that would translate well to bourbon, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's true. So, anyway, yeah, we like to thank 361 for our podcast. And
yeah, they keep picking us up for some reason.
And
They must not listen.
We are biased, but me and Jesse would not run in the shoes if they weren't worth
it. That is 100%, yeah.
So
I would never run in a shoe that I don't like.
So they are great shoes. Andy even says his wife's the best.
Loves
so definitely go out there and give them a try.
Yeah.
Come to Runner's Form or your local run specialty store and ask about them. So.
Yeah, and yeah, definitely come to see me. Because Blake doesn't know what he's talking about.
Yeah. Well, Andy, thank you for coming.
Thanks, Andy, for having me.
Yeah, thank you. And and make sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Like us on Facebook. We're going to do, like I said, we're going to do something for our 1 year. We got to do something, something cool. But yeah, because we're coming up on that. And thank you, Brian Wheat, once again, our sound engineer. He makes all the magic happen. He's going to edit in our Running on Indie song at the end. Like, we actually, like, as a little audience, you don't know this, but we don't hear that when we come in. It just gets edited in later.
Oh, I thought you guys were playing it.
No, we don't play it. They don't play it. So we're getting ready to cut into that, I'm sure. So,
Real quick.
I was getting ready to sing.
I did go see The Predator.
Oh, God.
I did go see The Predator.
Blake, we couldn't get through it without an 80s movie reference.
The original Predator is my all-time favorite movie.
Okay, what did you think about the new Predator?
It was horrible. Yeah. I am so disappointed that they cannot get that damn thing
I'm
right.
telling you, the Aliens franchise is far superior.
They got to bring back Arnold. I know he's 72, but you got to bring him back.
Is he 72?
He's 72.
But Alien... Aliens franchise is way better than the Predator.
I agree with you. Yeah, it's not...
You can throw out 3 and then Resurrection, and then the rest are good.
Yeah. No, they're actually pretty good.
Yeah. Okay, anyway, I'm sorry. This isn't a movie podcast. You can talk about we could do a whole podcast on 80s movies. But...
Yeah, I'm just upset about The Predator. I had high hopes for that.
Anyway, we're going to wrap this up. Yep. So total digression right at the end. Everybody's waiting for that theme song. Okay, so... running on Indy. Just kidding. No, so everybody, I'm Jesse Davis.
And I'm Blake Robertson.
And remember to keep Running on Indy.
Running on Indy.